Do you take certain apps that you're like, these are time wasters, and you hide them in your phone, and then it doesn't do anything?
It doesn't
help.
Well,
yeah.
Doesn't
help
at all.
I just put them way at the back of the thing so that it's hard to...
So it just eats up more time when you go to those apps because you have to scroll all the way.
Right. Now it's like I have to really, really want to open Instagram so that I can just flick my finger a few times.
It doesn't help. I even took it. I took it off this home screen and I have to go to the library.
Oh, wow.
And I still do it anyway.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I put it in the deep in the apps folder.
And you put this timer on that is like really depressing when you blow through it really quickly. Like it's.
I know.
I swear I woke up yesterday and I watched an hour of TikTok. Easy.
This is the
when
thing.
I discovered YouTube, I didn't work 6 days.
Out of paper, out of stock. There's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim and Dwight Creed, call Andy and Kelly for your business paper needs. Or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Hello and welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office by fans of The Office. I'm your host and Mozart's friend, Sean Roney.
And I'm Edwin James, the poor man's Michael Scott, as he is known around my condo.
And with us, as always, our producer in the warehouse, Mr. Alex Ward.
How did she die? I guess you could say she died of blunt force trauma and blood loss. She got in a car accident and plowed into the side of an airplane hangar. God damn.
Apparently she was stoned.
She was so innocent. Apparently she was stoned.
Every week we get together and talk about our favorite show, NBC's The Office. This week we'll talk about our main topic and we'll have a little conference room and some trivia at the end of the show. This week is Michael and Dwight. We're going to hug it out, bitch.
Couple big boys. Couple big boys on the episode.
Friendship for the ages. This is one of the most fundamental relationships in the entire show. I'm excited that we're doing kind of more of a deep dive this episode.
At times a friendship, at times a rivalry, at times the hero and the villain, at times parents, at times children. Yeah. They go through every kind of...
Private eye and a client and his client.
They go through every... spies together. Yeah. They go through every iteration.
Pretty unhealthy. But Michael and Dwight, I mean, I don't know, arguably maybe one of the most important friendship in the show. In the finale, when Michael returns to the show, he is revealed to Dwight, not to Pam or Jim or anyone else. I think that's an important important thing to note.
As
I think that's a really good point, Sean.
I was playing that drop to start this off. Just the sound, because when you watch it or when you listen, I'm gonna play it again. When you listen to it without watching, the joy in their voices seems like they're not even acting.
Michael, I can't believe you came. That's what she said.
I mean, I feel like I read somewhere that Rain was genuinely surprised. Is that right? Rain Wilson was genuinely surprised by Steve being in that scene? No, maybe not.
I'm not sure, but it does seem like... I don't know how they would have done that with the script. They might have just gotten the shot of him revealing, and then they gave him the line afterwards, but like...
Sure.
Or they had some way that like Jim was going to say that, I don't know what, but someone else. Or maybe they wrote in the script that it was going to be like, you know, one of Dwight's brothers. It was Jeb.
Oh, hello. Hi. Yeah.
I can't believe you came.
Oh, Moe's. Okay.
Yeah. Moe's.
This is coming a long way from
That's what she said.
From where they started. I mean, in the pilot, it's just you know, Dwight is the teacher's pet and is just, you know, it's not really a genuine friendship in the early days.
Early on the tone is very much Michael using Dwight at every corner, and every chance he gets he kind of cuts Dwight down a bit or talks about him to the camera in a not great way. It's not a good relationship for a while.
So much of the early Dwight and Michael dynamic is Dwight wanting to be at Michael's level. Hmm. So much of the early season is Michael really being above everyone else as manager. And the tone is it seems like the employees are kind of, you know, they don't want to talk back to their boss a little bit. Obviously that changes quite a bit as the show goes on and they have those big meetings where either everyone's in the conference room or everyone is standing out in the bullpen and they have these big conversations. But very early on, Michael is kind of talking down to his employees a little bit, at least from the position of I'm the manager and these are my employees. Mm-hmm. And Dwight is kind of in the middle and he's trying to get to that level. Like even in the pilot, which is a thing from the UK pilot as well, I believe, where Dwight says, tell me first when he has news. So Dwight is always kind of looking for that power. And then, you know, as the first season transitions to the second season, there's a lot more of Dwight and Michael becoming friends. Mm-hmm. And in a way, they need each other. I mean, I think the seeds for their friendship are shown in the first season when Dwight is talking about being on the basketball team. And Michael says, I vouch for you, Dwight, in front of Todd Packer. So there's a little bit of extracurricular friendship going on between them early on as well.
That's the deleted scene I want to see, is that basketball game that he invited Dwight to before. Something researching for this episode, in season two into season three is the time when it really shifts. And even the beginning and end of season two, you see this big change, which is you start in the Dundies, which is, you know, Dwight sucking all the funny out of the room. And Michael's almost in this battle. He's like, well, Dwight's the only one who would do this job, and he's not good at it, but I put up with him, whatever. And by the end of it, when you're looking at, like, drug testing, when Michael asks Dwight to basically, like, break his morals for Michael's gain, and the way Dwight wrestles with it, and he eventually does, but I feel like it breaks a spell on Dwight after drug testing in a little bit that we then see play out in the rest of season three, where Dwight's not taking Michael as seriously anymore. And he's like, Michael's kind of an idiot, but we need each other. And that continues to evolve until it almost turns on its head at some point, but we'll get there.
There are a number of moments in the series where their relationship is kind of tested or it breaks or it changes in a way that changes their dynamic for the rest of the show. I'm sure we'll hit on most of them. Ideally, we'll hit on all of them. But like the coup, for example, is a time where it feels like their relationship changes forever. But that's a really good point. I mean, early on in season two, it's I think of when Dwight has that email forward that he wants Michael to send. Consider it.
Yeah.
There's so many moments like that where he's really, really, you know, and they really kind of need each other early on. Uh-huh. Like Dwight gets sort of that validation from Michael, and Michael gets a sort of validation from being like the cool one in the relationship sometimes.
Yeah.
There's a bit of an eye of the storm in the injury when Dwight gets concussed and starts, you know, uses the "that's what she said" line, and they kind of have things change for a second. But the injury is the most like they need each other, despite that they don't want that to be the case.
Anyone I want Dwight? Michael to take me.
Please don't.
And then
Dwight.
The opposite when he needs to go to the hospital, I want Michael to take me. Yeah.
And Michael needs to check Michael his. Doesn't he care. Needs to check his foot in the CAT scan machine, and he would need Dwight for that.
Yeah, but Michael really doesn't care about Dwight in that moment at all.
Like, no, he doesn't.
Even though, you know, he may be really sick. I know. I'm just looking at the season two lineup of episodes, and like, there's so many ups and downs. Like, even in the fire. Is, you know, the Michael storyline there is just all about him being kind of obsessed with Ryan and Dwight, you know, starting to realize that. But then as that episode goes on, right, Michael starts to realize that Ryan's kind of a jerk or doesn't care about, doesn't even bother to suck up to Michael like Dwight does. Meanwhile, Dwight runs into the fire. Mm-hmm. And Michael is genuinely worried about him in that moment.
Indeed.
So he's maybe starting to realize in that moment. But of course, that's like episodes before the injury. So there's a lot of like...
And in between that is the fight. I mean...
I was going to say, yeah. The fight when Michael is his most cruel to Dwight.
Yes.
Perhaps. I mean...
Michael... God, I mean, we'll call it like Michael is a bully...
Big time.
For the first couple seasons, in that he picks on Dwight to make himself feel better because no one else likes him. So he finds someone that he can just sort of, well, take what he says and just let himself get beat up by Michael. And eventually that changes. But yeah, it's kind of startling when you really look at the whole season, especially in 1 and 2, and you're like, yeah, that's not it's an unhealthy thing going on here.
Yeah. Dwight takes a lot of abuse.
I kind of feel like Michael, at the very end of a lot of these episodes, not showing that sort of care for Dwight is kind of the turn that makes it not too... Wow, I'm saying this poorly. I was not... Chow. Yeah. I think that's the first time you got me with one of those.
I remember one other time, because I remember Sean applauding me for it.
And I will again.
All right, there are many episodes in season 2 where Dwight and Michael go back and forth with their friendship or whatever ridiculous thing they're doing in that episode. And Michael not showing that care for Dwight at the end is kind of what keeps it from being too feel good. It kind of keeps it grounded in a comedy, and it kind of helps us we can't like Michael too much.
Yeah.
He's endearing and he's lovable, but he's still such an idiot that like he can't even appreciate his friend.
He is a protagonist and an antagonist at the same time for the whole show.
Like so many, the funnier landing a lot of time is Dwight, you know, saying, "Oh, Michael, you're such a good friend," and Michael like, "Okay,
yeah, right."
He does, yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of that going on, and it doesn't stop. I mean,
it never stops.
There's early on, one of the biggest like examples of this is Dwight's speech, and we've done an episode on that before.
Yes.
But that's one where we really see basically Michael being like, oh, Dwight's, this is cute, he's gonna do what I used to do, and he doesn't, and then it ends up, you know, Dwight's uses Mussolini and everyone loves it, and then Michael like is so weirdly humbled but not in a good way by it, and he runs away to the bar, and then he needs Dwight to come back and validate Michael's feelings by doing this thing about, you know, hey, I entertained a guy that entertained 1,000 guys. And he needs that whole speech. And like, it's just like, that's the seesaw of them for the first 3 seasons.
Exactly. That's a good example where Michael doesn't just say, hey, you did a great job. He's, you know, making him a joke to Dwight, making him laugh, and then talking about how he made the guy that made the room laugh. Mm-hmm.
And Dwight comes into that just like, Michael, did you see? he needs such validation. They need validation from each other, but they would never admit it to each other.
It's so funny the way that Dwight seeks validation from Michael, and when Michael doles it out in such tiny little doses. I have been testing you all day. I am promoting you to assistant regional manager. And they're sitting in the conference room, and Dwight looks around and goes, huh. Well, I guess this will be my office.
Yeah, I know, straight to it. Well, the seeds of that are planted early on at the very end of the Dundies in season 2 as they're walking out of the Chili's.
Oh, yeah.
Michael actually compliments on like, hey, good job with that. And Dwight thinks he's talking about Pam. And it does the like, oh, you just have to, you know, I just had to check for responsiveness. And Dwight shines the flashlight in his own eyes as he says that.
Yeah, pupils. Yeah.
And Michael's like, no, I meant with the sound. And then Dwight has this very... taken aback, satisfied look on his face, which I hadn't really noticed that before.
No, I've never noticed that.
We've talked a lot about the Dundies and how important that episode is to this entire show.
The Dundies, how can we explain it? Take it frame by frame. And it's so happy that you all made it.
It's kind of incredible that even that all of this stuff, that their course of their entire relationship plays out in just that one episode from the beginning where he's resentful of Dwight, and Dwight's stepping on his spotlight. And then by the end, there's a genuine like, hey, good job. And they appreciate each other. You know, another 6 seasons to fully play out, but it's all there in the first one.
I can't help, but, or I have to mention, like, I feel like one of the perfect examples of Dwight or Michael taking advantage of Dwight and Dwight finally realizing it is in the Niagara when Michael doesn't make a reservation for a room.
And, oh my God. I love that scene.
And asks to stay with Dwight. And then, and Dwight very cleverly says, oh no, this is like, he's like, I would do the same for you.
Man.
And he's like, oh no, this actually says Michael Scott. And Michael doesn't extend the same kindness to Dwight.
Well, Dwight, well, so here's the thing.
Yeah. I was going to ask that to you guys of like, where do you think is the clearest? Where does the switch flip the most? I mentioned drug testing. I don't think that's where it actually flips the most in terms of Dwight stops idolizing Michael. But it begins the end, I think. So yeah, where would you guys pinpoint if you had to?
I think there are a number of instances, and it's a long path, and I don't know that it's super conscious. It's not as if there's one particular moment where Dwight
and Michael's relationship changes a lot. It's not an easy question. It's a difficult question.
Changes a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, here's another piece of it is that Michael and Dwight being so integral to all these storylines in the first few seasons is part of the way the show is written. The show becomes this big ensemble comedy, but in the first few seasons, it's Michael, Dwight, Jim, Pam, and sometimes Ryan. They're kind of the main characters driving the action. And as the show goes on and the ensemble grows, the characters or the writers tend to pair up different characters doing different things. Like the business trip episode with Andy and Oscar and Michael. Right. If that was in an earlier season, that would be Michael and Dwight, no question.
Oh, yeah.
Very
so
true.
Their friendship is a little bit separated, and then we also would account for the fact that Dwight doesn't get the manager job a handful of times. I mean, the coup. We could start there. We're going in order. The coup is a big one, where Dwight faces all that internal conflict about whether or not to go over Michael's head to Jan.
I want the branch. I feel like the coup couldn't have happened without drug testing. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that I think
Dwight realizes that Michael does not have his best interests at heart.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that Dwight is willing, like, Dwight turns in his badge. Where's your costume? Yeah. It's a uniform.
Yeah, the way that scene is shot is so good, where the physically the way Michael kind of sidles up to him and he's a little bit it's kind of a worm tongue vibe going
on. Prepping for this episode made me laugh even more than prepping for most, because so many of these scenes are just Rainn Wilson and Steve Carell just playing off each other so well. It's really great.
There are some incredible scenes in the coup. I mean, the dentist Crentist with the
ouchie.
Might be gone 3 hours. I've said that before. I think that's my favorite scene in the show. It's the Crentist exchange.
Yeah.
What you also get in the coup is just the brief moment of Dwight actually telling Michael what he thinks about the Sebring.
Oh, yeah.
Real which honesty. Is
the first time that I think we see that, and maybe the last for a very long time, that he's not, doesn't feel the need to suck up to Michael.
Well, I mean, like, it's like we talk, it's like the coup is this breaking point, but then by the end of the coup, it's like Dwight's just doing laundry for Michael for however many.
Mm-hmm. And standing with the liar sign around his neck.
That's just a precious, precious image.
Yeah.
If anyone wants to get me a gift of to find a way to make that a large, high texture image, I would like a large poster of that image of Dwight standing there, the idiot. Yeah, but like it's season 3 has a lot of moments of them having a good time together as well. In cocktails. I'm sort of, when they switch shirts.
You're dressed like the servants.
Yeah. Branch closing is the most notable one, where they basically do the stakeout.
They save the branch.
Themselves.
What do we do?
I don't know.
Best moments in Dunder Mifflin history.
Phyllis's wedding, they team up a little bit, sniff out. Or I guess that's Jim Pranks.
Whenever Michael needs a guy, he goes to Dwight.
It's Dwight, yeah.
Even though he usually wants Jim or Ryan first. He ends up with
yes, Ryan. You can ride shotgun.
I kind of want to drag us out of seasons 2 and 3 and talk about the fact that like
sorry. Before you drag us out, Sean, we should mention that a big piece of this is when Andy comes in and drives a wedge between them. Yeah. And they are forced to reckon with each other. And that, maybe that might, that arc is really when they get time. It's like they, it's like a couple and they break up for like 3-4 months, take some time, think about it, and then they get back together and they're much healthier afterwards. That might be.
Well, it takes a big man to admit his mistakes. And I am that big man.
I mean, just like in The Fire, when Michael realizes that, you know, he made the wrong choice of Ryan over Dwight, he realizes the same thing when he chooses Andy over Dwight and goes and gets Dwight back from Staples in a very heartfelt scene. But I, you know, one thing that Edwin and I were talking about this in prepping for this is that As the seasons go on, Michael and Dwight grow a little further apart, and you know it could be, you know, just the fact that there's an ensemble now and we're focusing on other characters more, but you know, I would say in season 5 when Michael leaves and starts the Michael Scott Paper Company, Dwight realizes that he needs to survive, and so kind of chooses Charles Minor over Michael. And I don't think that there's any if that's ever resolved between them.
Great idea.
When Michael finally
Yeah, I mean they don't they do it at once with the Casual Friday episode. But let's also remember that before then, in Stress Relief in season 5, we have the moment where Dwight stands up to protect Michael. How can you all say this about him? And idiot. He says, don't you call me an idiot, you pathetic, you sad, pathetic little man. You don't have any friends or any family or any land.
Right.
Yeah, that's the most, to me, that's the most like load-bearing line of this.
Yeah.
And it's good. It kind of comes halfway through this whole run of just like, in one moment, he's like, hey, be nice to Michael. And Michael's like, you're an idiot. And he's like, well, you know what? Like, you're an idiot too. So let's both be idiots together. Even though I have land and you don't, which is great that he uses that, because earlier on, like, I feel like Michael has a sense of Dwight for a while of just like, you've got your farm and this whole other life. Like, you don't need the office. I need the office when he's trying to get the job back. And
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, and as far as the Michael Scott Paper Company thing goes, there's that element of when they have that exchange, it's Michael doesn't ask and Dwight doesn't say no. That's the way they get around it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So
that's true.
That and it kind of helps save them a little bit. But then, of course, like you said, you know, Dwight is working backdoor for Michael a little bit. Then there's this new guy who comes in, very Will Smith-esque,
very cool.
It's the new guy, Charles. Is it Stanley?
I love Philly. Dirty town.
Right before Stress Relief is Prince Family Paper, which is worth talking about because it's sort of a flip of drug testing. In terms of in drug testing, where Dwight is morally so confronted that in Prince Family Paper, you get basically Dwight blink of an eye. He's like, yes, let's do this clandestine mission to take them down. They are the competition. This is a ruthless business world and we are ruthless businessmen. He's so eager to do it. Doesn't think about it.
Yeah.
Michael, meanwhile, is having the difference in the moral quandaries that Dwight was having in drug testing. Mm-hmm. So it's a nice little role reversal. That then leads to Stress Relief right after.
I guess Michael cares more about other people than Dwight, and Dwight cares more about the law than Michael, you know?
Dwight cares more about justice than people.
Yeah.
Texas justice.
Texas justice.
So, I mean, after the Michael Scott Paper Company arc, I would say, I mean, I don't... I kind of just wanted to jump ahead to Michael leaving the show in season 7.
Whoa.
There's one before you go there is one big moment that we really have to call out, which is the new leads episode.
Yes, thank you.
Six.
Yeah.
So partly the whole sales staff is acting a certain way because of the way that Saber has tried to emphasize and like motivate the sales staff. So we see everyone all the salesmen treating the other characters in the office pretty poorly throughout that episode. And Michael, of course, as a way to get back to them, gives out the leads to everyone else in the office. A lot of them get thrown in the trash. and Michael and Dwight go to look for them at the dump. And even in that moment when, like in that episode, when Michael or when Dwight finds out that the leads are in, he's like, Michael, you're supposed to tell me when the leads are in, which is very different from earlier episodes in the show where Dwight is Michael. He's like telling, he's telling on someone in the office. And then when he goes with Michael James, to the dump, he says, I'll go.
Oops, sorry. That was a complete accident.
It's okay. Any drop is welcome. But Dwight says to Michael, I'll go with you. You'll just screw it up. And when they get to the dump, they air out their dirty laundry. So kind of fitting. Right. When Michael, you know, the years I wasted being your friend, Michael says back to them. It starts as a professional conversation about how Dwight hitched his horse to a wagon with no, or I hitched my wagon to a horse with no legs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Dwight's like, Michael says, all right, the years I wasted being your friend. They go back and forth and they kind of air it out. And then at the end of that, they become friends again. That conversation is ridiculous.
That's right. That's
I should have been spending my time, when I think about the time I wasted watching karate movies with you, kung fu movies, I could have been out at the bar meeting my wife and having kids. The kids you make with the floozies at the bar. Yeah. Hey, that's my wife.
They're... I rewatched New Leads 2 for this, and the fight they have after that is so funny. Michael picks up a sink that's full of water and pours it all over himself. It's crazy. And then they're so out of breath.
Time out. Time in.
I love this. I love this moment after they fight, and they're just sitting there panting. And Dwight's like, it's amazing.
No other animal on earth could do this. Maybe beavers. Not like this.
Hey, you know who'd like this? Phyllis. Purple much?
It'd be a great image, like a flower growing. And the caption, hope grows in a dump. I'm surprised that poster might be available.
That poster doesn't already exist.
That would be funny. Yeah.
It should just be a picture of Michael and Dwight sitting at the dump. And you know those old inspirational posters that you used to see when you were a kid of like a baseball field? And
Be unique.
And like a kite and it was like soar.
That's so funny.
But that's an important moment. And I love when they come back and they have that weird beanbag strapped to the top of the car.
Yes.
Well, no one considered it because it's for me and Michael only.
I mean, that's a very recurring theme on the show is Michael and Dwight go take a little road trip somewhere or some kind of drive.
Oh, yeah.
Know, whether it's to New York after launch party, you know, it's
Utica.
It's out of the dump. It's to Utica.
Or the gift baskets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of them in the car.
Where are the turtles?
Speaking of, I just wanted to tell our listeners, Edwin's a very sweet man, and he sent Sean and I gift baskets.
That's right.
A while back.
Yeah.
And
we were going to record an episode on Easter Sunday. And part of the topic we were going to talk about included that episode with the gift baskets. And I thought it'd be really funny if I could order, like, to surprise them during the recording by ordering gift baskets, and we could have it on the show. But
I think it's Dunder Mifflinfinity.
Yeah, I think that's correct. I just didn't want to get it wrong. But yes, I think that's the right one. But we, when we got together to record, we didn't feel that great about the topic that we had picked, and we decided to save it for another day. And I was like, well, I got you guys gift baskets. They should be coming soon.
What's great too is they messed up the card, so I kind of forgot about that, and it showed up on my birthday, and said it was
happy
from Alex.
Birthday, buddy. Okay, so what happened was, when I went to buy the gift baskets, when you buy something online, it has that little option: shipping address same as billing address. And I mean, in this time, we've been shopping online more than ever, and I always just click yes out of habit. So I had to email them afterwards and tell them to use the right billing address or whatever. And I mean, it's not these people's fault. I think it's my fault. Mm-hmm. Because, yes, they thought I was Alex. Even when they would email me back. Like, hi, Alex. Yeah. So the gift basket that I sent to Sean, the card that came with it said, cool, cool, box it up, Alex Ward.
And then I got a text from Sean and was like, dude, yeah, thank you so much. Like, I really appreciate it. And I sat with that text for a few hours with Anne being like, what do you think he's talking about? Because I don't want to be like, huh? And eventually it was like, I don't think I did anything, man. Like, what? That's right. And you sent me the card and we figured it out eventually. But this also all happened. My gift basket came like the day after I left for the Bahamas, and it sat on my porch for that entire time. The whole point I brought this up is in that gift baskets were chocolate turtles. Was a yes. Large chocolate turtle that Edwin had managed to get in there, and
I was delighted that was an option.
Yeah, incredible. And but mine sat out on our front porch for like a week, and so that's, I have a big puddle of what used to be a turtle.
Melted.
Yeah, because it just melted. No. But no big deal. It's still going to be very tasty. I'm actually saving it. I still have it in the freezer. Mm. I don't know what for. Mm. But I'm going to save it.
For a special day.
Edwin, you there? He froze a little bit. Ah, he's back. There he is. Let's let it catch up here. All right. He comes and he goes.
I'm back now, I think.
Oh, baby.
Yeah. Can hear you.
Damn, we're in a tight spot. All right.
How is that possible? No offense, Pam, but how is that possible? Okay, I think I missed. I got the very end of it, which was the turtle in the freezer.
Okay, yeah, that's where it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I decided, I don't know what I'm saving it for, but I'm saving it for something.
I'm glad we finally got to talk about it. We would have. I think we would have just forgotten about it at a certain point.
It would have been all for
nothing.
No,
that all happened.
No, I mean, it would not have been for nothing. I mean,
No, I'm kidding, man. It was such a nice gift. It came with a little dish towel with a bunch of Portland icons on it. Now I've got that hanging on the oven handle. Yeah, it was very, very thoughtful. Thank you again, bud.
What other things that were in it? It was a lovely. Oh, there was some little sausages.
I think there was wine.
There's some wine. Mm-hmm.
Oh, the little Olympic provisions sausages. Those are
choice.
Mwah, little weenies.
Choice, dude.
But yeah, thank you again, Edwin.
I love this hog, mama.
Okay,
it's back. Like eating a hot circle of garbage.
You're so welcome.
What a waste. Boing, 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 boing.
Okay, how about back to Michael and Dwight?
You think that I would let this happen again? No way, Jose!
We're off the tracks.
You could say we're very rarely on the tracks.
Yeah.
You could.
Think we're like Michael, like in Money. Like, we jumped onto the tracks and then it just stopped. And we're just sitting there.
So where's this train going? I think the engineer left.
That's it.
The story of the Michael Scott podcast company.
The engineer left a long time ago.
Good stuff.
Season 7.
Whoa.
For Michael and Dwight. Whoa. This is when, you know, Dwight is in a lot of ways is starting to give up on life a little bit. He's not with Angela anymore. We don't get a nice moment really between Dwight and Michael. I mean, very briefly when he gives him the letter of recommendation. But things
paintball?
and paintball, that's right.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
But threat level, I mean, midnight? Okay, but Dwight's not in the room. Sorry. The Last Dundies, though, that's when that I'd say that is what I'm talking about. Is that that episode ends with Dwight getting out of the car and
he is at a in a full sprint.
And doesn't go to the conference room to sing goodbye to Michael, which I think is...
I would dedicate this award to the humble trash can.
That's right.
Yeah, it is strange that he's not in the room. I mean, I guess it makes sense with where they are in their relationship at that moment. Dwight is still very bitter about not being recommended to take over the branch while D'Angelo is there. But they do kind of patch it up in Goodbye Michael.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it begins with the Rocky Mountain Oysters. You think you deserve to be buttled after you didn't recommend me?
Yeah. The Rocky Mountain Oysters thing is in season six, too. And actually starting with maybe all the way back to the Charles Minor arc when he does the meatball parm, you know, the worst sandwich. Starting with that, he starts doing these things that he knows that Michael's going to fall for. And it's very easy. Like, he pranks Michael in the way that Jim pranks Dwight some ways. He's like, I know he's going to fall for this because I know him so well. And he has
a number
of them. I knew you
would. The meatball parms, their worst sandwich.
There's so many. The Rocky Mountain Oysters, that's just easy pickings, you know? I don't know.
Michael, in tight pants, you are a salami.
I know. But, all the way back to Survivor Man, where he's basically like, Michael's an idiot. I'm not going to let him die. I'm just going to hang out here. But I know he's a child and he'll probably put poisonous mushrooms in his mouth at some point.
The safety is on. they are able to, at least as Michael makes his exit, to kind of patch things up. The job was not mine to give Dwight. He tells Dwight they play paintball. They do end up saving that relationship. That would have been difficult, I think, as a viewer to watch Michael exit the show and feel like he was not on good terms with Dwight.
Yeah, and earlier, Sean, you said like maybe the most important friendship on the show, and you know, there's like you could maybe make an argument with Michael and Pam in terms, and like if you look at how they do Michael's goodbye, like the last person he actually interacts with, but the last like full interaction like that with Dwight with the paintball, and it's really sweet, and then with Jim, and of course, but like I don't know, it's a good question, and now I'm thinking, like, is that the most not important relationship, but is it the most important friendship on the show? I'm trying to think of others. Is it Michael, or would you go Jim and Dwight or Michael and Dwight? What's the more important relationship?
Oh, yeah, Jim and Dwight.
I think it's...
Not friendship, relationship.
Wait, friendship or relationship?
I'm asking, what's the most important relationship between those two? Jim and Dwight or Michael and Dwight, do you think, on the show?
This is another one where of those not allowed to say both situation, correct?
Yes. Yeah. I want to take that from, I think it was like Hannah, her name was. Yeah.
I'm going to go with Michael and Dwight, not just because this is the Michael and Dwight episode, but I mean, Jim and Dwight's friendship lasts longer because Steve Carell leaves the show. So they get some more time with that one. But I don't know.
I'll say Jim and Dwight, and we'll let Edwin be the tiebreaker.
So Michael and Dwight or Jim and Dwight, and I can't say both?
Yeah.
Correct.
Oh, neither. Neither.
Oh, shit.
No, just kidding.
Damn it.
Michael and Dwight. I think they need each other. They really need each other throughout the show. And
you're right. You're right. You know what? You are right. Because Michael just needs at least one person to take the job as seriously as he does, or at least care about it as much as he does.
They both loved Under Mifflin, and the way that Dwight just leaps into whatever task Michael has assigned for him works so well with both of them, and we have a Yumi appearance.
Simple, like, Dwight really needs to get approval from authority, and Michael really needs to feel authority.
Exactly. Yes.
And that. It feeds so much of the show's plot.
Dwight invests himself in the structure of Dunder Mifflin, and part of that is being friends with Michael and being the assistant to Michael, and he wants to be rewarded from that structure a little bit. And Michael sees the same thing, someone else who is committed to the company. And we did have a quick Yumi sighting on the Zoom.
I don't know.
We were looking for Kitten.
Sean's cat Yumi was there. Oh, yeah. What a gorgeous creature.
He's a cutie. No, I like that. I like that reasoning, Edwin. I couldn't really put it into words myself, but I absolutely agree.
I think one thing too, as we talk about season seven and Michael leaving the show, when they have the episode The Search, and you basically line up the three most meaningful relationships for Michael in the show, or three of the most meaningful relationships, which is Holly, Dwight, and the receptionist, in this instance played by Aaron, they all go out looking for Michael together, and Holly right. is the one who knows where to go.
Which Michael, way did he go? This way? Yeah. That way? I don't know.
Tap into your common mind. I'm deep and below. I'm deep below the sea in a submarine. No, this is just my own imagination.
Yeah. But it is, you know, it's in prepping for this episode, like, just because I so rarely do it while I'm just watching the show, going from beginning to the end, and the amount of jumping around, it's just crazy that, like, you know, early on when you're getting the whole, like, you know, what did Jan say? The Michael Scott story. By Michael Scott. With Dwight Schrute. Like, he goes from that, yeah. like a byline of a byline is how he sees himself, you know, to someone who's arguably, like, just, he feels just as important and powerful as Michael by the end, and has his self-confidence has surpassed Michael's throughout the show by leaps and bounds, I would say.
Did I want to harm Michael, the one man I've been hired to protect? actually, I was thinking about this, that in some level, on some level, Andy becoming that wedge and Michael and Dwight leaving the company, while today it is me, we all shall fall. In a way that I think that was a really important thing for both of them, because when, granted, Dwight is working at Staples and he didn't get the other jobs that we see him interviewing for at the beginning of that episode, but the confidence that he shows in pitching himself seems a little, he's more confident in that moment than we see him in season two. When he's sucking yes. up to Michael the whole time. So mm-hmm. in that regard, it was probably a good step for Dwight.
It's good for both of them.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
I don't know why I didn't actually go back and rewatch Goodbye Michael for this prep, and in my mind it was so, like, it was such a quick resolution to their problems that he just gives them the letter of recommendation, and then they have their paintball game, which really has no, like, lasting consequence. Like, he never uses the letter of recommendation after the fact or anything like that. But
I don't know, Michael has that paint in his hair for a while.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, and Dwight becomes manager shortly thereafter.
Acting manager, yes, that's right.
But why did my temporary boss go on a shooting spree?
But I did
Dwight
just now
is manager.
I did just now look up the letter of recommendation that Michael writes, to whom it may concern. Oh, good. Real personal. Thanks, Michael. The dictionary defines superlative as of the highest kind, quality, or order, surpassing all else or others, supreme. That's great. If I wanted the dictionary definition, I'd buy a dictionary. I define it as Dwight Schrute, as a sales executive, as a leader, as a man, and as a friend. He is of the highest kind, quality, and order supreme. And then he's holding back tears. That actually is a really beautiful.
Started getting me choked up. Right there.
Yeah, well, I mean, you compare it to the other letter. Congrats, yeah. A-Wipe. Don't screw the pooch.
I love the face that Michael makes after that. That little, it should be a meme. It should be more of a meme, that face he makes.
Michael and Dwight, I mean, I know that we're kind of wrapping, you know, getting closer to the end of this topic, but like, it's such, like, how many enduring images do we have of Michael and Dwight? Dwight rushing to Michael's office. Michael, or any instance where Michael is sitting at his desk and Dwight is standing next to him with his arms crossed as his bodyguard. Or they're both staring out the blinds together.
The chills. The peanut butter in the hair.
Wow, there's a lot of calories. Don't leave it on too long.
Birthing the watermelon.
Yeah,
that's right.
Zipping the pants up right behind it. Like, there's so many moments in there.
The unclasping the bra.
Whenever Dwight is looming, it's good.
Or when they're having conversations and Dwight, Michael says something that Dwight knows is wrong, and Dwight just looks at the camera.
That's like, that's all of Survivor Man as well. Several times of just, they're just like, he kind of stops trying to correct Michael at some point too, where he's just like, I know, I'm just going to let Michael say that.
And the way that Dwight immediately is on board with holding the delivery boy hostage.
I know. That was a weird one because they are breaking the law. But that's why they have
some little town in Switzerland says you have rights.
I know. Well, that's why they have to have the line where he's like, I recognize him. He always steals my hemp plants. He's like, oh, I know. He's the farmer that grows the really shitty weed.
I think too, I feel like one of the first moments where I feel like Dwight and Michael become friends, and I feel like I'm jumping back to the very beginning of this topic, is in Office Olympics, when Michael allows Dwight to go as his associate.
Yes.
To check out the condo, and Dwight is doing his full home inspection, and it really feels like they're friends in that moment at the end when they're eating, you know, I think it's burritos or sandwiches or whatever, sitting on the floor. Can you imagine those poor saps back at the office today?
Oh yeah, that is a nice little moment. And they make allusions to them hanging out outside of work, even though Michael doesn't like people to know that, I think.
When he cried when we were watching Armageddon.
Yeah, right.
That was really just leave Bruce Willis on the asteroid. No, it was because it was New Year's and it started snowing at exactly 12 p.m. or 12 a.m.
That's an incredible thing that happens. So that, like, good. We don't get to see.
I kept texting you. I was bored.
What's that? I kept IMing you how bored I was.
It just continues on. But I mean, the period of time where they're not chummy is so great, though. There's a lot of good things. There's little lines. There's little looks. When the respect goes away, the humor goes up.
I'm bummed we never got to see Michael at the farm, because we know he goes there.
We do
there
in the finale, bro.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yes. not quite what I meant, but yeah.
But an initiation, garden party, money. He's not. We don't get him interacting out there.
I know, after dinner party, he goes and stays with Dwight, right?
Michael can stay with me. Hand clap on the shoulder.
Yeah.
God, I would love some scenes of that. Just a scene when Dwight leaves the room and it's Mose and Michael sitting together. It'd just be incredible. I don't know what they would
people
say.
People person.
Or they would really get along, maybe.
Or where Dwight shows Michael where his manure comes from. When I showed you where my manure comes from.
Everybody poops. Yes, I do.
There's no way to get the food out.
Any moments that we haven't talked about that
episode.
At prepping for this, we're like, this, as much as we try to have structure on this episode, it's gonna be a hey, what about this scene episode.
How many times Michael and Dwight have a very intense face-to-face conversation when they're clearly not on the same page? Like, they're clearly seeing things differently. It's
the gay witch hunt, looking through the blinds. One of my favorites, where they're talking about who in the office is
and
gay.
When Dwight stands up to kiss Oscar after Michael does. Sit down, Dwight.
This is a little moment in season 6, I believe, also in the new leads, when they walk out on his conference room meeting because it doesn't involve the sales staff.
I would like your undivided attention, please.
Yeah. You couldn't handle my undivided attention.
He gives him a little stare right after that. Where he's like, you can't handle my undivided attention. He stares straight at him, and then he moves sideways out of frame. And it's,
I guess,
brilliant.
That's great.
One other thing that I'm thinking of is in the promotion in season six, where Michael announces to the office that Jim is going to be promoted to co-manager. And it ends with, I think it's the meeting. But
the meeting. Yeah.
The fact that Jim is chosen for the promotion over Dwight is probably another thing that, you know, becomes a factor in their friendship.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
Huge scream.
Yeah.
I think that scene is back. I think early on we did the Comedy Night Done Right episode about NBC.
Early on,
Thursdays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why is Dwight so angry? Episode.
Yeah, but we show one of the promos like, why is Dwight so angry? Find out Thursday, 8 p.m. Yeah. Incredible. Right. And then they have the Niagara Falls in October. Hells yeah. Right after that. That's what comes right after that Dwight scream.
Yeah.
Hello. My name is Dwight Schrute. You're a lucky woman that Michael is.
If you were hearing this.
I was just going to say that.
Hello. My name is Dwight Schrute. If you are listening to this, you're a lucky woman Michael has seduced. Ah, to be in your shoes. What's next, you're probably wondering. Don't be scared of your night in heaven.
If I bring a woman back to the room, I don't know what she's going to see or what she's going to say when she sees you brushing your teeth with butter and clay. Dwight, this room is a pit. Really? Didn't notice. Was too busy knocking boots.
Knocking boots.
What? I'm ravished after a night of lovemaking.
I guess so, that's from Prince Family Paper, but this one is the
yeah.
Oh, that's the
yeah. There's so many just little moments between them, like Prince Family Paper, like deciding on the signal, which is licking your lips, no more. Yeah, that's it. And then, I mean, Michael asking Dwight to check his breath.
Oh
is
yeah,
one of my favorite
deep.
Good,
deep,
not great.
Deep yeah. Inhale. Good, not great.
I already check mentioned out, check the
out
chills.
Check out these shades. Terminator. I do not understand how you spend your money.
Yeah. I already mentioned the chills, but that's one of my favorite moments between Michael and Dwight.
Oh,
the yolk, egg on your head, and the yolk is rushing down. Do you guys remember doing that as a kid? I do remember that. Yeah.
Totally. I had a different... I had a
knife in your back.
We did a different one in our elementary school. Mm-hmm. I don't quite remember what it was, yeah. But there was no knife and egg.
No,
but they're giving the chills. I'm sleeping with Pam's mom. Sometimes dinner, and the blood is rushing down.
You know, I wish you had told me you were into moms. I would have introduced you to my mother.
This favor is useless. That's my dinner on your face.
Michael and Dwight. Eddie, you want to sneak in any?
No, we did. There
other
was a,
thoughts?
Oh, no. Okay.
I'm sure we could probably do another 45
a lot
minutes.
Of us. Just,
who knows? There might have to be a part two if we listen back to this and realize all the things we didn't mention. But that is good for now, I'd say. Michael and Dwight, there it is. Maybe the most important friendship in The Office. Let's move on to
favorite friendship.
Favorite.
Let's answer that. What's your favorite friendship? Can be small or large.
Kevin and Gabe.
What are they talking about? Probably the extremes of the human physique.
It's you, Gabe.
It's really
all right.
It's
conference.
Really hard to pick against Michael and Dwight, but I have a soft spot for Annie and Daryl. That's a one that I would like for us to talk about.
Oh, that's a good one.
We'll do that. Yeah, I'm going to say Dwight and Nate.
That's a good one too. All right, conference room, 5 minutes.
Right now, conference room. Topic, potpourri, let's go.
Okay, I think we just got some little items for the conference room today. I'll start with this shower thought from Rachel. Something just occurred to me that I'd never realized before. Jim dated Karen Philip Ellie in season 3, and then years later, he and Pam named their son Philip.
Hmm.
It seems a little odd that the writers chose that name, as it's so close to Jim's ex's name.
Okay.
Not a random ex either, but his last one before getting together with Pam.
I mean, they do explain it as Pam's grandfather or Angela's cat, depending on how you look at it. But that is pretty funny that they decided to name him Philip. I mean, they couldn't have gone with something a little less used in the show, like perhaps a Robert or a Bob.
or a
Katie or a Catherine or a Kathy.
Yeah. There's so many Catherines. Yeah. but no, I just wanted to share that.
Right now, conference room.
Damn it.
Sorry.
I love this TV.
I'm going to just start playing that one to wipe the slate clean.
But no, thank you for setting that, Rachel. That's a really good, interesting point. I haven't thought about that.
And then another little thing I wanted to share from Olivia. Olivia actually sent us our trivia for this week, but she also said,
trivia.
While double checking the quotes for this trivia, I stumbled upon this awesome website called That's What Who Said. You have to read a line and guess the character, episode, and season the quote is from.
Oh, I like that.
Not sure if you guys have played this, but it's a lot of fun. I played it this morning, when she sent it, so I recommend it. Check it out.
Nice.
I think it's. I almost thought about us playing it on the air, but yeah. Thank you, Olivia. You guys have.
Yeah, I have a couple things because we did ask questions in previous episodes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. People answered. Mm-hmm. The main one we asked recently was like, "What things do you say out loud or do every time you listen to our episode?" And we got a lot of responses of a lot of people get weird looks because laughing or saying shit or whatever. Another one's most people, we could dig a lot of people say they say yes, sir, with us at the end every time. Everyone does the woo during trivia.
Nice.
Of course, I have to do that. I think we've spread the fun one, season 4, episode 1, as a parasite that we've put in a lot
season
of people's
4,
heads.
Episode 1.
Yes.
I've also wanted to try, I always forget to do it, but I've always wanted to do Moving On season 9.
There's probably a lot more.
Episode 16. Let's do that. Moving On season 9, episode 16.
All right.
I think there's a lot we could do. Steph sent us a message. She says, as for what I do when I listen to your podcast, I spend my mornings doing hand embroidery when the light is the best. That's a shrewd farm activity.
Yeah,
I do hand embroidery when the light is best.
Get into
she makes Taylor Swift inspired pieces.
If you have
a Swiftie in your life, hit me up. That's kind of incredible. I kind of want to hear that.
Yeah.
Do we have a Swiftie in our life? Macalotti,
big Swiftie. We should get him something.
Yeah.
We'll hit you up, Steph. We've got a lot of people doing dishes, making dinners. These were a lot of our answers. And then what was another one? Driving, picking up dog poop, walking the dogs. Big, lot of dog walkers out there. But those are the sampling of our of those answers.
Love it.
And then
thank you to everyone who wrote back. That's really fun.
We had a lot. We can't share all the messages, but we did get a ton.
That's very nice, though.
Really quick, Sean, because we did get a message. I'm forgetting who it was from, but it's just saying how much they love the old timey newsreel voice, and now Sean, your true crime podcast voice.
Good. Yeah.
And I know we just heard the drop from Dwight, but I kind of want you to read Dwight's recording in your true crime podcast voice, if you could. I just emailed you the quote if you don't want to find it. But I really, really lay into it.
Yeah.
Or I don't know if there's another quote that would be better for this in the show. I'm thinking there's some Michael monologues that would probably be
pretty
good.
Wouldn't it be a Scranton Strangler quote? Wouldn't that be the way to go?
That's true.
I'm going to kill you.
All right, we'll give this a try.
All right.
This is Dwight Schrute. If you are listening to this, you are a lucky woman who Michael has seduced. Ah, to be in your shoes. What's next? You're probably wondering. Don't be scared of your night in heaven.
Fantastic.
We'll send us other quotes. Send us A,
we'll old, make this work.
Old news headlines and good paragraphs that'll work for true crime.
Mm-hmm. Love that. Okay, and then
let me just wipe one off the board because someone's going to send us the imagined headline that Michael has about product recall. We're gonna maybe next episode we'll make you.
Some companies still know how business is done.
I think we have a birthday shout out.
Yes, shout out to Adam, who is a listener friend of the show, and his birthday is tomorrow, the 20th. So happy birthday, to Adam!
Oh, nice, happy birthday, Adam.
Happy birthday, Bob.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Adam. Thanks for listening to the show. All right, guys, let's do some trivia.
Let's just do our thing, collect our hardware, and get the hell home.
As I mentioned before, this is from this trivia comes to us by email from Olivia. Thank you, Olivia. She says, as I currently live abroad in Spain, I thought I would send you some travel international themed trivia.
Love it.
Thanks for all the laughs. I love listening to the podcast. Thank you, Olivia.
Thank you.
All right, here we go.
That
was good. All right. Question number one. In Secret Santa, which country does Michael say no longer exists?
Oh, Russia.
Yes, correct. Question two. Where did Roy and Pam want to go on their honeymoon?
Mexico.
Hawaii?
Okay, so Pam wanted to go to Hawaii. Roy wanted to go to Mexico.
Yeah.
Question number three. What does Michael say you must do to be considered polite in Italy?
Wash your hands after using the bathroom.
Yes. All right. Next question. In what year and country did Charles attend the World Cup finals? Whoa.
Germany. And 2002? 2006?
2006. That's right. Nice work. Okay. I want to play some soccer. In season 9. There we go. In season 9, Andy's dad takes off with a younger woman to which country?
Portugal?
Oh, we just talked about this. Mm-hmm, no, Brazil?
Not Portugal. Not Brazil. You guys are in the right continent.
No, we're not. That's two different continents.
Yeah. Same language. Yeah. Gosh. Same language, okay, different continents.
Costa Rica. I don't know.
No, it's don't tell us
yet. I'm giving you one more each.
Argentina?
Yes.
Hey,
that's correct.
Nicely done.
Argentina. Second to last question. Joe Bennett says she sells the best damn printers that which country can make?
South Korea.
That's correct. And finally, in Business Trip, Michael says he has always been intrigued by all things international. What are the three things he lists?
The pancakes.
Yes.
Yes.
IHOP's philosophy. Man of Mystery.
Yes.
Oh, all right. International. I can't think of the third one.
The first one is just the women.
The women, okay.
The women, the pancakes, the man of mystery. That is a fabulous trivia. Thank you very much, Olivia. Always love a good themed trivia. And good job to you guys. You got a lot of those right. So if you would like to send us trivia, email us, mspodcastcompany@gmail.com. You can call us and leave us voicemails, 503-694-9314. Sometimes we like to play them on the show. Sometimes we do back-to-back voicemail episodes where we just knock them all out. So hit us up on there. Facebook and Instagram, Michael Scott Podcast Company. We have a website, michaelscottpod.com. And we're on Patreon, patreon.com/Michael Scott. You can join us for $5 a month, become a Scott's Tot. Every month you get an additional mailbag episode, just questions that come to us from Patreon. We try to answer nearly all of them. it's a great way to support the show and to have some more fun with us. Every month, or we also make a donation to the Thurgood Marshall College Fund with that Patreon money. So very special thanks to our Scots Tots. Thanks for supporting the show. We love you guys so much. Special thanks to Ryan Lloyd, who helps us with our social media and designs our artwork. This episode was recorded in Portland, Oregon over video chat.
Thank you for listening. It means a lot to us that you're hanging out with us. Listening to us just quote Michael and Dwight for an hour.
Sorry about that.
It's great. But hey, that's what the people want, I hope. if you do consider signing up for Patreon, we'll have our next episode coming out in just a few days here. So you can look forward to that if you are a Patreon member or thinking about subscribing. Thank you again. We appreciate you all. Take care, stay safe, and we'll see you next week.
Pippity poppy, give me the salad.
Yes, sir. Just
kind of chugging my penis for nothing.
Mortal soul, and then can you have to dance real slow? Well, I know that you're in love with him, because I saw you dancing in the gym. The chef turned off her shoes. No more rhythm and blues return. Rhythm and blues. This'll be the day that I die.
Wait. Don't skip ahead just yet. I know you were about to. Chances are, if you're listening to this podcast, then you'll love mine too. If you like podcasts that break down all of your favorite water cooler reality TV shows like The Real Housewives or big budget movies like Wakanda Forever, then this is the podcast for you. Subscribe to my podcast, Reality and Comics 2, and listen to episodes like my interview with Robin Dixon of The Real Housewives of Potomac or my interviews with your favorite bombshells from Love Island USA. That's Reality and Comics 2. And I'm Kendrick. See you there.